Without further ado, Mr. Wayne Mattson.
Well, thank you, dearly beloved. We gather here. Wrong speech. Hopefully, next Wednesday, we won't be doing a eulogy. The sense I'm getting in Washington is right now there's a lot of people that are worried. People say, how do you think the election's going to go? And I say, well, you know, the big caveat, of course, are the election machines and the tabulating of the votes. And I would say that there's going to be a lot of voter fraud. We already hear it. It's happening in Florida. It's happening in Maryland. There's all kinds of problems now with flipping votes for the Democratic candidates to the Republicans on the touchscreen machines. But if we get a big turnout in numbers, it's just a mere fact. How many votes can they possibly steal? And I think that's what we're looking at. There's going to be theft and there's going to be fraud, but hopefully the numbers, the people that turn out, will be able to inundate even their fraudulent system. So, you know, either this time next week we'll be looking at changing things, or we will be pulling the last life support on this country, because this is it. I mean, I thought 2004 was it, but this is the big one, because if they steal this one, I think it's pretty much over. Frankly, I don't know how much longer I can stay in Washington as this sort of independent insider, because it is very difficult. There's the noise machine with the Republican neocon media is absolutely incredible. It's very hard to pierce that artificial bubble around what we call the Beltway in Washington and get through that bubble to the rest of the country, the rest of the world, to let them know, hey, what you're hearing about the Foley thing on these 24/7 news media channels is not what is going on. It's much bigger than Foley, and it has been for quite some time. But anyway, on the book, Jaded Tasks, I want to thank the United States Army for helping me come up with the name of the book, because I had the book written, but I didn't really have a working title for it. And then all of a sudden, in 2004, the United States, for the second time, overthrew the democratically elected president of Haiti, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, in a military coup. And that coup was basically formulated and planned as a covert operation by U.S. Special Forces, which we just heard about, in the neighboring Dominican Republic. And the name of the covert operation was called Operation Jaded Task. I said, it's perfect. They're all jaded tasks. So that's how I came up with the title, just to make sure I understood what. Now, you know, the thing is about when they assign a covert term to a covert operation, the rules are it can't have anything to do with the actual operation. It's a masking term. It's to camouflage what it really is. So I said either somebody made a terrible mistake by calling it Operation Jaded Task, or somebody in the U.S. Army has a great sense of humor. But anyway, jaded is defined in the dictionary as cynically or pretentiously callous. And that's a great term for the Bush administration, the Bush family, and all of their cohorts and colleagues in crime. What I tried to do in the book was bring together a lot of different events that have taken place where the Bush administration has just really pushed the envelope. And I came up with this term. You know, every week would go by, there would be another scandal, either involving Bush or Rumsfeld or Jerry Bremer with the Coalition Provisional Authority, or these criminals, in Congress, Duke Cunningham, Bob Ney. And, you know, every week we were just inundated with another scandal. And I talked to my colleagues in Washington, my friends, and people that I bounce things off of, and they would just shake their head. And, you know, another scandal. They say, oh, another scandal, another day. So I came up with this new syndrome, and I call it moral indignation fatigue. And I really think the country, and in fact the world, suffers from this because of this administration. Moral indignation fatigue. What are you going to tell me that's going to top the scandal from last week? Well, I thought there wasn't anything until just a few weeks ago with the Mark Foley situation. And I can tell you that it was no accident that that scandal came out earlier this month. Now, the Republicans will have you believe that the Democrats had this information and sat on it. Au contraire. As a matter of fact, a Democratic member of the House Page Board, Dale Kildee from Michigan, said he never even heard of any of this. And he's probably the longest serving member of that House Page Board that there is. He's been on there well over 10 years. He said he never heard of any of this, even though we now know that Foley had problems as early as 1995 when he first came to the House from Florida, that Jim Colby from Arizona was implicated, that Hastert was involved in the cover-up. The fact is, why it came out in early October is thanks to some career FBI agents and career Justice Department attorneys who knew, who had been hearing about these incidents, were told about these incidents by members of the staff in the House of Representatives, and were told we're not going to pursue this by two attorneys general, Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez. And finally, they had enough. Now, did they time it? Sure they did. Because there are people in the Justice Department, the FBI, that want to see the Bush people go as much as anybody else. So these are the career people. These are not the political appointees. But, and this gets into where I get my sources for the book and also for the website. There are people, rest assured, in our government, in the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, the FBI, and a whole host of those other alphabet soup agencies that do not like what they're saying and will talk off the record. And they talk anonymously, and I have to sometimes go to great lengths to make sure that they're not identified. When I talk to them about what goes on inside their agencies, I do not talk to them over the telephone for obvious reasons, especially if the person I'm talking to works at the National Security Agency. nor do I email them for the same reasons. The most secure means of communication is face-to-face with precautions. And I have met sources in softball fields where the chain, we meet in the backstop area where the chain link fence is, because that if somebody has a shotgun microphone, that attenuates a signal. They can't pick it up because of the fencing. Because the people I'm talking to are professionals that know what they do on the other side. I've met people in the middle of woods, out in the middle of nowhere. I've met people in empty bars where the bar owner is a relative, and they keep the place closed, or they open up early and keep it closed so nobody else is in there while we meet. And you know, it seems like it's something out of that movie Enemy of the State, but this really happens, and it's amazing. But what's really amazing is these people who come forward, they have everything to risk. Everything is on the table. These are not people who have worked for these agencies for 2 or 3 years. These are 17, 18, 19, and 20-year employees of these various agencies in the government. And they put a lot on the table. They risk a lot to come forward. We know some of them have already been identified, people like Sybil Edmonds, the FBI translator, certainly, and she's put together a group called the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, which is now, I think, over 100 members who were all out of national security agencies, FBI, CIA, NSA, Defense Intelligence Agency, who have come forward with information, especially post 9/11.